Hi Jeff, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Mike, how are you doing?
Very well. I'm just looking forward to another podcast where we're just looking at some of your reflections on these disciplines that we're looking at. And today we're looking at abiding through Scripture, which was preached on by Brian.
Magnificently.
Magnificently, wonderfully. Now, some of the things that we've been doing as a small group in response to these sermons, I've been looking at reflection, response, and practice. So I just really wanted to kind of dive into some of the small group notes and just ask you a couple of questions, just to see, you know, from your own personal experience, how that's going. So in terms of reflection, one of the questions that we were asked to consider was, what is the difference between reading Scripture and meditating on Scripture? So from your point of view, what would you say are the main differences?
I think reading Scripture is primarily, or can be primarily, about information, you know, and engaging your brain. Whereas I would describe meditating upon Scripture being about encounter. Yeah. So obviously reading Scripture for information, you know, just, you know, renewing your mind, learning things about God is wonderful. We should absolutely do that. There's great benefit in doing that. But I think there is a difference when you read Scripture and it engages with your heart, and you read Scripture and you are sensing, just God speaking to you and working in you and engaging your emotions in a way that is kind of deeper. And that brings about some kind of response in you, some kind of prayer response or worship response. Rather than just an intellectual response, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So do you think when Brian was obviously majoring on let the word dwell richly in you, that meditation is an important part of that richly dwelling?
Yeah,
as
definitely.
As opposed to just reading it or studying
Well, I think both. I mean, I think, you know, it's hard to draw a distinction, isn't it? But I think it's also how that word, how you allow that word to form you, to shape you, to linger with you throughout the day, you know. So perhaps one way you can look is, you know, define whether you're reading or whether you're meditating. Like I say, it's about the heart response, you know, because I might read a passage and I might think about that passage at different points during the day. But I do think there's a difference between meditating upon that passage and letting it, you know, just ruminate around in my heart, and kind of, you know, shine a light on different things, you know, within me, or bring me some kind of revelation about God that is going to lead to more than just head knowledge, you know. I guess it's that thing of, like, there's that scripture, I can't remember where it is now, is it Ephesians 3, where he talks about you know, knowing the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. And it's like, well, how does that work?
How can you
know something that is beyond knowing? And so I think for me, meditating on Scripture is getting to that point where you go, okay, I know this thing now in a deeper way than just knowing in my mind.
Yeah.
Like, I know it in my heart. It's gone into the soil and it's bearing fruit.
Because meditation has got different, there are different pathways to filling yourself with Christian meditation. One of the things that Richard, is it Foster or Forster?
I think it's Forster.
Forster. mentions in his discipline, the spiritual disciplines, is about meditating on the Scripture and entering the scene. So one form of meditation is you could read, you know, Jesus, like any account of Jesus, and you can imagine yourself in the scene.
Yeah.
And you can spend some time, you know, trying to, you know, using all your senses in that meditation in terms of smell and sight and sound, and even get to the point where he suggests that you walk with Jesus and you begin to speak to him and you have a conversation. And one of the things that you've emphasized throughout is this idea of intentionality, of continuous intentional communion. So would you see meditation as a key part of that continuous communion?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, in terms of, like, meditation on the word, absolutely, because you know, we can't you know, the word is one of the primary ways through which we do encounter Jesus. It's the revelation of, you know, who God is and who we are in him. So if we're going to walk in, you know, to walk closely with Jesus, you know, is to walk in his truth, isn't it? It's to walk in the light. And so we can't do that unless the word is dwelling in us richly. Because our, you know, we were just talking about this before we started recording it, our minds are never neutral. They're either in truth or they're in falsehood. They're either in light or they're in darkness. And so, you know, we are being formed by things and information all the time, and we are abiding in information all the time. You know, we're abiding in what we look at on our phone, we're abiding in what we look at on the TV, you know, we're abiding in what we read on social media or whatever. That's where we're dwelling. Like, that's, it's that in, we're dwelling in it, and that information is dwelling in us, and it's forming and it's shaping us. It's becoming our constant companion. Whereas if you're dwelling in the word richly, if you're abiding, if you're meditating upon it, then that's the place you're abiding. The place that becomes, Jesus becomes your constant companion just through that revelation of who he is, if that makes sense.
So one of the R's that we've got reflect, which we've just done some reflection, but in terms of response, one of the questions was, what is your experience of encountering Jesus through the scriptures? What does time alone with Jesus look like for you at the moment? And I suppose the question I was leading to about meditation, well, what does meditation mean for you? How do you meditate? There's so many different dimensions of it, aren't there?
So, I mean, it's funny because I'm not particularly... I'm creative and I'm imaginative. But like what you were talking about, you know,
very Richard, visual.
Yeah, well, Richard Forster's thing... I don't consciously visualize in that in that way. That's not necessarily how my process goes. For me, I very simply, I sit down with my Bible. I have a journaling Bible, which has space down the side to write things down. And as I feel, as I read something that I feel is a moment of revelation, you know, or something jumps out at me, I just underline it and jot down a little note. Sometimes that will be the extent of it. Other times that will then flow into a wider kind of and deeper reflection. Obviously, depending on what you're reading, there'll be different things that you pull out on a different level. So, you know, if I'm in the moment, I'm in 2 Kings. You know, 2 Kings is great narrative, but there's also some repetition in there as well. So it's the things that I'm kind of drawing out of that. Maybe sometimes I have to work a bit harder, you know, to really kind of find where is Christ in this. But equally, sometimes there aren't, you know, when you read over and over again about, you know, here was this king and they did evil in the sight of the Lord and didn't walk in the ways of their father David. You know, you can pause on, you can either read that through and go, man, the Israelite kings were useless, or you can go, oh, wow, see the need for a righteous king who walks in the ways of God and leads his people, you know, in obedience and for their good. You know, they're reflecting back to David, but even David, you know, struggled in all of his different ways. Oh, the longing for a king to come who can be everything that God wants the king to be and that the people need. And obviously that then leads you to Jesus. You know, if I really take a moment to think about that rather than just gloss over it. So for me, a big part of like my meditation or letting the word dwell in me richly is just reading it at a pace, that allows me to really think about it and to reflect upon it. So I, again, depending on what I'm reading, so if I'm reading Old Testament narrative like I am at the moment, I'll tend to read a chapter, but that will be a chapter that will probably take me 40 minutes, 45 minutes to read, because I'm stopping every now and then, you know, and underlining and writing things down. If I'm in one of Paul's letters or the Gospels, I might only get 10 verses, into it. Yeah. Sometimes not even that, because some of it's so dense and so rich. You know, you can spend time just lingering upon a word. So I think it's just, I think part of it is just allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you and following, you know, just following his leading, following his prompting. So that's kind of what it looks like for me.
So it's much more pausing and maybe then thinking around the scripture, however, whatever scripture you're looking at, and then going to the Lord and actually ending up praising.
And praying through that scripture, you know, letting that scripture be the springboard into my prayers. Now, again, sometimes that's easier than other times. So literally with, you know, with Psalms, with Proverbs, with Paul, you can actually pray through, you know, the chunks of scripture as part of your meditation, because they're so, you know, so easily and obviously applicable. It's hard to maybe do that with like Leviticus or, you know, something like that. But then you can still pull out, okay, what's the key revelation here? What's the thing that's really allowed, you know, my heart to kind of be stirred, and using that as a kind of launch pad and referencing that into my prayer. For me, you know, if I pray it out loud, it seems to go deeper into my heart.
Oh, that's really interesting. Yeah, this meditation is so diverse, the ways that you can meditate. But
what does it look like for you?
Well, mine's much more visual in that I quite like to use my imagination to imagine that I am in the scene, that I am there. And I also want to dialogue with Jesus. So for me, if I had that pause in Kings, I would still visualise either at the cross or walking with Jesus beside the Sea of Galilee and asking him questions about it and trying to listen to a response. So some days I follow him at a distance, but I try to walk with him and just try sometimes in silence. So for me, I don't, with all these things, I always try to visualise being with Jesus walking on the Sea of Galilee. So it just helps me, you know, visualise my relationships.
Yeah. I think for me, I mean, one of the pitfalls for me definitely can be that I can read the scripture for information, or I can read the scripture and in the back of my mind I'm thinking, how would I preach this, you know, text, you know, or how would this text be, you know, how would this be helpful for someone in a pastoral situation or whatever? Which I don't think is wrong, but I think it's easy to stop there, what have I learnt, you know, like what have I learnt in my mind and stop there. And I think often that's where people do stop. Mm. You know, what have I learned from this? And you kind of, I guess this is all about encouraging people to go the step beyond. And like, not just what have I learned in my head. What has this revealed about me? Mm. You know, what is this revealed about God? But actually, what has this then revealed about me?
Mm.
And how can this scripture form and shape who I am?
Yeah, brilliant. The last thing we wanted to look at was practice.
Mm.
I just suppose, it's obvious we've already heard how you put these into practice. In terms of the way that you're looking at facilitating or helping the small groups, you prepare these notes and they are reflect, respond, practice. So what's your kind of view of how small groups should function with these notes in terms of, should they set a little time aside to do reflect, respond, practice, or should they just do practice? Or so what's your kind of view of the three ideas, and how important is practice on that particular night?
Yeah, I mean, I think practice is really important.
Yeah.
Because I think the danger with any of this stuff is that we can just talk about it, and we feel kind of safe talking about it, you know, in theoretical terms, and you know, that's not to say that people aren't going to be real and honest about how they find it in their own lives, whether they do it, whether they don't, what they find, you know, helpful, what they struggle with. I think people are honest about those things. But, you know, the scripture, I think, always demands a response, doesn't it? You know, when this whole thing about, you know, being a disciple is about, you know, following Jesus, you know, not just listening to his words, but obeying his words, you know, putting them into practice. That's what it means to, you know, be someone who builds their house on the rock rather than the sand. And so I think maybe the practice side, you know, the adopting, like we've been talking about using the language of like adopting the lifestyle of Jesus in order to experience the life of Jesus.
Mm.
I think maybe that's the bit that we find harder. You know, it's like we want all these things. You know, we go back to Psalm 23 and that picture of London life. Yeah, we go, I want that, you know.
Full life,
But we don't necessarily want to do anything about it sometimes. Yeah. And so I think it's kind of acknowledging that, you know, acknowledging that challenge. And then as a group going, well, how do we take our first steps in this? Because it can be intimidating and daunting and a bit overwhelming, particularly for someone. I mean, take reading the scriptures. People find it hard to read and engage with the scriptures. I think the enemy, you know, does everything he can to stop us from doing so, because he knows how life-giving and freeing they are. And so therefore, you know, we want to kind of help. How do we help one another take those first steps?
Yeah, yeah.
So making time within a group context and not just talk about it, but to go, okay, well, let's talk about it a bit, but now let's take however long to actually do some reflecting upon scripture. Mm. So I was, you know, I was telling you, you know, earlier, like I was super encouraged to hear of one of the small groups who took one of the Psalms and just took a, you know, a verse kind of each the group, and just for, you know, actually for an hour, someone read a verse, and then they just kind of reflected upon it, you know, dwelt in that verse, and then responded to that verse. And then it was the next person's turn to kind of read the next verse when they felt like it was time to kind of move on, and they didn't, you know, really mind it for all its kind of goodness. And I just thought, wow, what a brilliant practice. And once you've done that, what you're then showing people is, okay, this is the first steps that I could take. I might not have an hour to do that in the morning, you know, if I've got other responsibilities or whatever, but I could sit down with a, if I don't read scripture at all, if I don't have that as a habit in my life, I can begin to start with 5 minutes, 10 minutes, verses, 3 verses, but just do that, just read it, and then just stop and pause and reflect and pray and respond. And so I think the practice element is really important. Okay. Otherwise, I think we're just, that was my long-winded answer saying practice element is important.
No, it's really, I think it is important. I know for our group, I think that putting it into practice has, I think we've done that for the last couple of sessions. That's been really, really the most fruitful.
Yeah, well, that's
apart
good
from me banging on.
I'm sure that's very fruitful.
Yeah, but no, I found that people's groups' openness to the Holy Spirit has just been so evident when they put this into practice.
Oh, that's great. I mean, it's a vulnerable thing to do it.
Mm.
I think acknowledge that for some of us, depending on what the practice is, we're going to feel, a bit uncomfortable about doing this. I think we have that anytime we engage with the Holy Spirit. I think it's always an act of faith, you know. I think there's always a part of us that doesn't want to, you know. There'll be a voice in our brains, you know, that says, this is, you know, this isn't, so it comes back that this isn't a safe thing for you to do.
No.
You know, batten down the hatches, shut down, because the enemy doesn't want us to engage with these life-giving, because they are life-giving practices. So you know, we might be, if we're tempted to not want to engage with them, just to kind of try and set that aside, set those fears aside, you know, just trusting God's goodness, you know. Someone said to me the other night, you know, the Holy Spirit's not a threat. We don't need to be fearful, Him when we engage with these practices. And we're all, you know, we're all learning. So it's not, don't worry if, like, sometimes that's the other fear. We go in and we go, well, I don't know how to do it and I've got nothing to say or nothing to contribute. Well, that's fine.
Yeah.
Just take a step.
Brilliant. Well, thanks, Jeff. That's been really, really helpful. So hopefully you're enjoying the podcast. I certainly am enjoying them. So
thank you very much. You're welcome. Yeah.